Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
The holidays are such an exciting time, and you know your kids are getting excited, and you even feel like a little kid yourself sometimes, wrapping presents, decorating the tree, lighting the menorah, whatever it is that you do around this time of year. It can be very exciting. It feels good, but there are so many safety concerns, and it's also a time of stress and worry for others. So how do you kind of tie it all together, managing the expectations, keeping your children safe, and making your family feel that cheer and gratitude at this time of year, because it is the time of giving. My guest and fan favorite here on Healthy Children, Dr. Corey Cross. She is a pediatrician and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cross. So let us start with, you know, some just pretty much safety things, because I think that we can talk about the safety and it's really important. So let's get that out of the way right at the beginning.
Sure. Most people know that, you know, they need to keep their tree filled with water and that they want to make sure that it's not drying out and not to leave the lights on when they're not home, because, you know, you can start a fire, and not to overload their outlets with extension cords and things like that. So most people think about that. Most people also usually think about that outdoor lighting should be outdoor lights, outdoor extension cords, and outdoor timers, that you need to make sure that these things are appropriate to get wet. So people usually get those two things right in their head. What people sometimes don't think about is if they're having a large party, where are all these people's things going to go when they come into their house? Don't assume that you know what people are carrying. Lots of guests may have pillboxes in there where they have heart medication that they take in the middle of the day or in the evening, and those things are not baby-proofed, and if you have a little toddler or a curious little kid who goes around into people's stuff, they may find those things, or those may spill out. So make sure that you think about beforehand, if you're going to have a large party, where am I going to put everybody's bags? Where am I going to put everybody's things, so that they're not just lying on the floor, maybe by the front door, or on a chair by the front door where, you know, little prying hands can get into them. And I now think about this because medical and recreational marijuana is becoming so much more common, that some people coming into my house may have edibles in their bags that my kids may think are actual candy. Or if we go to somebody else's house and they're playing in, you know, someone's room upstairs, and, you know, it's an older teenager, they may find something and they may eat it. So I tell my kids when we go to parties, you're not to eat anything that you find. If you want to eat it, bring it to me. I promise I'll be super lax at a party. You find candy and you want to eat it, sure, we'll talk about it, but you can't just eat anything you find. And so I do have that sort of conversation, and I think that sort of how the world's going, you do have to think about that. And if you're really having a giant, fun, all-blowout party, think about hiring a sitter if you've got lots of little toddlers, because that's when you lose track of them.
I think that's one of the best ideas right there, is if you are having a big all-out party, you hire some sitter from down the street, and she comes and she keeps track of all the kids and where they are and plays games and does, you know. And you're right, because these edibles can look like candy, and mm-hmm. So the kids could just eat them. And then there's the alcohol. People take a drink, set their drink down, and walk away, and a little kid runs by, is thirsty, and can drink this stuff. So there are so many, grandma's blood pressure medication be sitting out, you know. So there's right. All of those things. What a great point. So what else? Now there's, you know, the tree and lights, and we all know about tinsel and that sort of thing. What about the gifts themselves? What does the AAP want us to look out for this year?
So for gifts, you want to make sure that they're age-appropriate gifts. You want to make sure that you're not buying things that have been sort of red flagged as dangerous. So, you know, those walkers with the wheels, we really always like to stay away from them. Countless times, kids walk downstairs. Now, they don't make them really anymore, but people still seem to find them. They trade them on eBay or Craigslist. So you want to be thinking about it's fine to use hand-me-down toys and stuff, but just make sure that their safety codes are up to date. The other thing that lots of people like to do during this time is make beautiful fires. They like to make fires and sit around them and have family time, which is all wonderful, but we have to remember that those ashes can stay hot for 24 to 48 hours, but those little embers in there can sometimes start a fire even like days later. And so you want to really just leave the fire in the fireplace until you're sure it's cooled. And then even after it's cooled, the best place for the ashes are in some sort of ash bucket, not in a plastic bag, not in like your combustible garbage can. You want to make sure that you're disposing of those ashes in something that's non-combustible and making sure you're leaving it in that until it's absolutely cooled. And if you have any questions as to how to clean out your fireplace, what to do with ashes, almost every state has on their website, if you put in like fireplaces California or, you know, wherever it is you live, or doesn't really matter which one you look at, they're all the same. They give you detailed explanations as to how to clean out those ashes. And you will just want to make sure that you're safe during the holiday season if you are building a fire.
Absolutely. And that's really, really important. Now, another thing, when I mentioned stress at the beginning in the intro, you know, if we want to keep our children safe, we want to keep all of it happy and cheerful, but we also want to manage some of the expectations. Our children see the latest iPhone, and these things can be $800 or more, and they want this or that, and we want a new TV, a bigger one. How do we manage those expectations while at the same time instilling that sense of giving and gratitude for our children?
I think that that's always a tough balance for parents. But I think that using the time leading up to the holidays to talk about what the holidays mean to you really does make it more than about that one day or about those 8 days or whatever it is that you celebrate. It makes it more than just that. You really talk about the spirit of the season, and I love that phrase because it brings into mind really what you're trying to sort of carry with you the whole year, but that you really focus on during this time. And so there are some lovely traditions, right? Decorating, singing, games, cooking, they're all the sort of different things that we do during this season that can cause stress if you think of it as like, I've got to do the holiday cookies or I've got to. But if you think of it as, this is a time to really lay down family traditions, to bring this time together. You know, this is a time when kids are off from school, so I have time now to have family dinners or family game night or read to them. Think of it as like this found time and this time to build traditions, that it really changes the way you look at it. And I think that as we move up to, so for me, I move up to Christmas, we have a time called Advent. Usually the kids think about getting little chocolates out of their Advent calendars. This year, every day we think about, besides getting our little chocolate, we think about one blessing in our life, one thing that we're thankful for. And I think that that way it's putting it into perspective that we're leading up to a holiday where we're supposed to be thankful, not just getting. And I think that that's the same with actually most of the holidays that you think about that we celebrate right now. We can think about for your, you know, for your Hanukkah nights, like what are we thankful for? That's actually a big part of Hanukkah, is being thankful for what happened. And so I think that when we start out there and we start out talking about that, we really then put it in perspective that this is so much more than about getting presents. And I think, I know your family does something amazing where you talk about giving. And I think it's wonderful what you guys do. What I try to do is get my kids to think about what they have that we can give to others. And I really think talking about giving really puts the getting in perspective.
Well, it does. And for listeners that might not remember last year, we do these blessing bags. We go to the dollar store and different stores, and we get socks and gloves and hats and scarves because it's Chicago and it's cold. And we get food and cans of food and water, and we make these bags and we hand them out to street people that we see. And we just go all over the city and we hand these things out, and each of us take a turn. So like we walk up to somebody and say Merry Christmas and put this bag down in front of them. And invariably, Dr. Cross, they look up and they are like, oh, thank you so much. And then they look through the bag, and it's really heartwarming to see them look through the bag and be like, oh, there's this toothbrush with toothpaste. And, you know, we put all kinds of stuff. We put some candy in there. We put granola bars, you know, and each kid, and then they talk a little bit, and it's really a very good feeling. It really, I mean, I know it's temporary, but the socks and gloves and things might help in the winter, and we all do what we can do, right? It's just a matter of instilling that sense in your children that there are some things, no matter how small, that you can do.
I think what you do is amazing. I think it's great on so many levels because you're not just talking to them about it, you're showing them, and then they get that wonderful feeling that you get when you do something nice for somebody else. And you're right, it is temporary, but that could be what that person needs right now, not just the gloves, but that temporary feeling of somebody knows I'm here, somebody cares. And sometimes that's what you give someone. It's that feeling that you care, you notice them.
That's right. And there's a lot of, you know, the Christmas movies at this time, every single one of them with all the same looking couples, you know, but that is really what the feeling is. And it gives you that kind of warm and fuzzy feeling. So managing expectations can be helped by instilling that sense of gratitude and service for your children, but not just this year, you know, this time of year, but really all years, and explaining to them that some of those presents you're a pediatrician. Do we tell our kids that we can't afford something?
I do. I do, because I think that it's important for them to realize that, you know, things cost money and not everything is always something that you can have. I also say sometimes the things are inappropriate. Like my 7-year-old asked Santa for an iPhone X. I don't know where she came up with that idea. And I looked at her and she goes, well, I'd give it to somebody who could have it because I'm too young. And I was like, yeah, that's still not going to happen, sweetheart. Like, Santa's not bringing you an iPhone X. And then my 4-year-old asked Santa for any weapon that Santa thought would be appropriate. So sometimes kids ask Santa for things that you're like, what? So in my experience, sometimes Santa leaves notes that says, you didn't get this because it was too young or not appropriate, but I picked this out special for you, and I think you're going to love it. So sometimes you just have to redirect them to something that's appropriate because you can't control what they ask for. And I think that, you know, parents, they do know best. They know what they can afford. They know what fits into their lifestyle and their values. And they have to, you know, make sure that what comes into their home is what they think is appropriate.
I agree with you. And one thing that we don't always touch on in these yearly ones, Dr. Cross, is the stress of the child at this time of year, especially when you're traveling and you have 3 little ones. And mm-hmm. I remember when mine were little, I was always like, okay, so the party starts at 5. I want to make sure they nap by 1 so they're, you know, fresh from their nap and they're not going to be fussy at the party. But the stress level of both parent and child raises at this time of year. How do we keep that routine when they're so many other things going on?
Yeah, it does get tough. I'm the type of parent that sort of, I try not to worry so much about what time they nap, but like when we're on vacation, but whether they nap, because I feel like if I try to be way too regimented, it just adds to our stress. But then I feel like it also, there has to be balance. Like if we have one night where I let them stay up late because we're at a party, I don't schedule something the next day starting really early. And I also know that the next night they might have to go to bed early or they might take a longer nap. So you have to just really balance that. And you have to know that if you're going to burn the candle at both ends with your kid, in a day or two, you're going to have a kid you don't want to be around. So you have to slow it down and let them have some time to catch up, because kids, when they're tired, that's when their behavior breaks down and they're just all that more difficult to deal with.
Oh, absolutely true. So wrap all of this up for us in a nice little package with a pretty little bow about gratitude, managing expectations, safety, and good cheer at this time of the year, so that everybody kind of feels that holiday spirit and that Christmas feeling, but yet no tragedies and no disasters are going to strike during that time of the year if we're vigilant about certain things.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously just staying vigilant, remembering that you're going to homes that aren't necessarily yours and baby-proofed in the same way, realizing that, you know, there's a lot of chaos at this time. So being prepared, thinking about having a sitter, thinking about ahead of time what you're going to do, you know, when people come over, thinking about what you're going to do with your fire ashes, you know, making sure everything's right about your tree and your lights and your tinsel. Just thinking about that stuff keeps us safe. And then as we think about what we're doing with our kids, making sure that we slow down and remember that the point of this isn't to get as much in as we can, but to actually have the time and to use this time off at school and use this time beforehand to really feel that spirit of the season and to make sure you're teaching your kids about giving back and thinking about, you know, what they're so thankful for, and using your dinners to sit down and talk about. That's why I love something where you say, we're going to talk about what we're thankful for. Every night we're going to pick one thing. It really gets them thinking about it during the day. What are they going to say that night? And I think that that's just a great way to reprogram them into thinking about what they have and what they can give as opposed to what they're going to get. And then the only other thing I would really love to just, touch upon quickly is you can read to your kids. If you've got little kids, there are amazing books out there for the holidays. And if you read them holiday books that are, one of my favorite is the Carpenter's Gift. It's about the tree in Rockefeller Center and how now they use that wood to build for Habitat for Humanity. If you sort of tie these things together, it just gets so much easier to really instill in your children good values. And I mean, I would say go to the library and get a book about holiday traditions around the world. Talk about how we're all different, but we're all the same. And I think that the more that we use this time to really pull us together as opposed to pushing us apart, I think that that's really when that spirit of Christmas and the spirit of the holidays can last the whole year through.
Absolutely true. And such good information. You're always such a great guest, Dr. Cross. And we certainly appreciate when you come on and give parents this really great advice. And parents listening, you know, you are getting this advice, this expert advice that you can trust. You're getting it from the American Academy of Pediatrics and their pediatricians. So you know it's information you can trust and you can count on to be helpful. And if you really want to get in on it, for sure, go on to iTunes and rate and review. That way, like-minded people, we can all get involved in these conversations. And you know that these experts are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. So thanks so much for listening. Have a great holiday season. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Stay well.